Hi, Wizzes. Welcome back to the Food Biz Wiz podcast. In today's episode, we are talking all about brand names, how to pick a name that works for your brand, when you might need to change your name, what to avoid as you're brainstorming and settling on a name, and a whole bunch more. I have the leading naming expert with me today, Alexandra Watkins of Eat My Words. She is our go-to resource for all things related to creating an award-winning brand name. Her breakthrough creativity book, Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick, is considered the brand name Bible, and it was named a top 10 marketing book by Inc. magazine. She's a former author in residence at the NASDAQ Entrepreneurial Center as well. Since 2005, Alexandra and her firm have created Love at First Sight brand names for some of CPG's biggest companies, including Frito-Lay, Coca-Cola, Clif Bar, Ocean Spray, and King's Hawaiian. Her personal name hall of fame includes the Wendy's Baconator, Smitten Ice Cream, frozen yogurt franchise Spoon Me, and the Church of Cupcakes. I can't wait for you to get to know Alexandra and to hear her advice. So let's get right into it. Oh, and one last thing. Alexandra is generously giving away a copy of her book to one of our listeners, and she's offering a discount on her course, How to Create Super Sticky Brand Names. So listen in to hear how you can enter our giveaway and how you can access the $500 discount code for her course. All right, on to today's episode. Let's do it.
I'm Allie Ball, former grocery buyer and retail store manager turned wholesale consultant. In my role on the retail floor, I saw delicious, values-driven brands fail on our shelves simply because they didn't understand the behind-the-scenes of wholesale. I created the Food Biz Wiz podcast to give you hard-to-access insight from my career in the food industry and the tools and strategies to help you succeed on retail shelves. If you're a committed food founder who's looking to create and grow a packaged products business that positively impacts our food system, puts wealth back into your own hands, and employs members of your local community, you have found the right podcast. Let's do this.
All right. Welcome back, my whizzes. And Alexandra, welcome to the Food Biz Wiz podcast.
Thanks so much, Allie. I'm so glad to be here. And I love that you call your audience your whizzes. That's awesome.
Well, the goal is to make them whizzes, right?
Yeah.
I'm so happy to have you on the podcast. And I feel like it has been a long time coming. I received your book last year, you know, over a year ago. We've been in connection for a long time, and I've just been waiting for the day that you and I were both free to make this episode happen. So thank you for being here. And I talked a little bit about you in the intro, but for our listeners who have never heard of you, can you tell us who the heck you are? And my juicy question is, how did you become the go-to brand naming expert?
Oh, thanks for the question. So so you know, my name is Alexandra Watkins. I'm the founder of a brand name consultancy called Eat My Words. And we're named Eat My Words because we started out naming things that make people fat and drunk. And as you mentioned, I named the Wendy's Baconator. So that kind of was a catalyst for that was like, made me really love the name. So I started my career as an advertising copywriter, and every once in a while, I would get thrown a bone and get to name something, and I loved it, and I was really good at it, and it was my favorite thing to do, but it hardly ever happened, and I had no idea that naming was a profession, and just like I'm sure a lot of your whizzes are like, oh, that's a profession? I didn't know that. So yeah, even I in advertising, you know, for 16 years, had no idea. Because naming is part of branding, and branding's at the beginning, advertising's at the end. So yeah, they never intersect. So yeah, when I found out that naming was a profession, I was like, oh no, that's what I want to do. And I was just so excited to get into it. So yeah, I decided to make a name for myself, and I did.
You did. Okay. And you're making names for other people too. Can we talk about the Baconator for a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
The beginner, I think when I started Eat My Words, I was still working with other branding firms, because that's how I started, as a freelancer for these branding firms. And what was happening is they were putting their good name on my great names. So they were getting all the credit. I was like, okay, I need my own naming firm. So that's when, you know, Eat My Words came about, and that was 19 years ago. And shortly thereafter, one of the firms I had been in touch with, Strategic Name Development, they had used me as a freelancer for a long time. And they said, okay, we have this new bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's that needs a name. And they sent this great creative brief, and it needed to appeal to truck drivers. So, you know, that was like a really good kind of acid test to keep in my mind. Like, what is a name that sounds super masculine?
Yeah.
So when I did the name for them, I had to sign, they had like a, you know, work for hire agreement, so I could never take credit for it, which just killed me because, okay, I got paid $1,000. That's all I got paid.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
And this was a while back too, right?
Oh yeah, it was 2007.
Okay.
So, and yeah. I started my company in 2005. So it wasn't that much longer after I started. Yeah. So, and that kind of really helped launch me, but I could never say it. You know, I couldn't put it on my website. I couldn't write about it in my book, nothing. So they finally all retired and closed down their shops. So now I can, and they hired Eat My Words to do it. Right. So now I'm like leaning into it. It's my name. I came up with it. So the Baconator, in the first 6 weeks it was launched, it sold 25 million units just in 6 weeks. So, and since that time, the Baconator, it has its own Wikipedia page, and it was recently an answer on Jeopardy. What is the Baconator? Everyone got, and by the way, everyone knew the answer to that. Yeah. And then, and I'm sure everyone at home knew the answer too, right?
Right. People yelling at their TVs.
Yeah, yeah, yes. I know that one, right? It's not some complicated history question. And then really recently, one of the guys on my team saw in the New York Times crossword puzzle that the Baconator was one of the answers.
Wow. Wow. You know, where my brain goes when I hear you say that is you are shaping American culture with your names.
Oh, that's so exciting. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a really big deal. I always say I live in the house. I say this is the house the Baconator built. Because, yeah, I mean, even though I haven't been able to, like, say it on the website, or I hadn't for all those years, I mean, of course, I, like, name drop it like crazy when I talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, I think about if you did not exist, or if, Alexandra, you named it something else, right? Like a mediocre name. Let's just call it like the bacon cheeseburger, right?
Yeah.
It likely wouldn't have had the, you know, the national success that it had, and would have impacted Wendy's success way back in 2007 too.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like, what other menu item other than Taco Bell has great names, right?
Mm.
Gorditas. They're just really
they
fun.
Do.
Chalupas, like, they make up these words that are really fun. But I don't think, yeah, think of like what other fast food item could you name, would be on Jeopardy or the New York Times crossword puzzle, or have a Wikipedia page, or people have sent me license plates. Like, someone will have it as their license plate.
Mm.
I mean, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of, like, oh my God, that's my, and people get so excited, right? Or another one that I named locally, in San Francisco, when I lived there, I named Smitten Ice Cream. And like, crazy for Smitten.
They love it.
Favorite. They would always say, that's my kid's favorite ice cream. And I would think, wow, like, you pay $5 for like for a scoop of ice cream for your child? Like, that's so indulgent. But, you know, it's San Francisco.
It is San Francisco. I live right down the street from the Smitten on Valencia. So I am a big fan of their ice cream. But let's step back one level and talk about what makes a strong CPG brand name to begin with.
Yeah, I think what makes it strong, I mean, obviously you want your name to be appetizing, right?
Mm.
So, but I have a acronym that helps people analyze whether their name is a strong name or a weak name. And it's called the Smiley and Scratch Test, as you know. And it's based on my philosophy that a name should make you smile instead of scratch your head. And SMILE is an acronym for the 5 qualities that make a name awesome. Scratch is an acronym for the 7 deal breakers. And if it makes someone scratch their head, you got to scratch it off the list. And I have lots of examples of those. Those are the fun ones to talk about.
Do you want to go through those acronyms or do we need to make people get the book instead?
No, let's do it. So the smile or the scratch? No. You can, not only will I go through it, everyone can take the test for free on our website. If you just go to eatmywords.com, click on test a name. If you can't remember that, just go to freenametest.com and you'll get there.
Great. We'll put both of those in the show notes.
Awesome.
So take us through the SMILE acronym.
Okay. So SMILE, the S in SMILE stands for suggestive, and you want your name to suggest a positive brand experience. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say a positive brand experience, so I'll give you an example of candy. Candy, there's no nutritional value in candy, right? There's nothing really to say about the candy other than like it's gonna, you know, make you happy, right?
Yes.
So for candy, I would say lean into happiness, right? And a lot of food products, like anything, confection, dessert. So one of my favorite names, you know, Twizzlers, right? It's fun to say, makes you smile, kind of a throwback to the old days, but they do still sell it, is a candy bar called Abba Zaba. And I just love saying Abba Zaba, right? It's just like, you think about like anything fun to say, that's going to help people remember it. They're going to talk about it. So in that suggesting of Jamba, right? Jamba Juice, positive brand experience. So in Jamba, Jambo means hello in Swahili. You don't need to know that to like the name. I just know that because I've been to Africa many times. Okay, so that is a positive brand experience name.
Suggestive.
I'm smitten, suggestive. Same thing, right?
Yeah, smitten, exactly. Yeah. I'm smitten over this ice cream. Yes.
Yeah. So then the M in SMILE stands for memorable. And memorable, what everyone says, I want a memorable name, but what makes something memorable? What makes something memorable is if it already exists in our knowledge base. So if you're trying to get people to understand a new name, a random word that they've never seen before, it's going to be harder for them to remember it versus something that they already know. And one of my favorite names that we've ever, I think the favorite name we've ever done that I came up with is a frozen yogurt franchise that I named Spoon Me. And everyone knows Spoon Me, right? Like, you know that phrase. So that makes it easy to remember. Plus it's, you know, not only is it easy to remember, it checks all the boxes. Okay. Yeah. So as we go through the Smile and Scratch Test, you'll see, Spoon Me passes with flying colors. And we'll come back to that too when we talk about the L in SMILE. Okay. Then the I in SMILE stands for imagery. Talk about, imagery. Spoon Me has some imagery, but when you say it out loud, if people can picture something in their head, it's going to make it easier for them to recall later when they're trying to search their brain's dusty filing cabinet. So here's an example. I'm going to tell you the name of an energy drink that we named years ago for Del Monte. It was an all-natural energy drink targeted at women as a kind of a Diet Coke replacement, that 4 o'clock like caffeine pick-me-up. And we named it Bloom, right? Like a flower blooms. Mm-hmm. So when you went to the grocery store and you're staring at that wall of energy drinks and you're like, oh, what was the name of that one? You know, what was the name? Like, you can picture that flower in your head and then, oh, Bloom. And like, it's going to come back to you and boom, there it is. Right. And by the way, with Bloom, we named the Just Add Vodka, you know, like with the Just Add Vodka version, I call it a Sonic Bloom.
Yes, I love that. And Bloom too, the imagery ties back to the feminine qualities of the drink too, right? Like you're targeting a female target audience, right? You're trying to stand out in this wall of monster energy drinks and you know, dark, masculine, like power, heavy. And so Bloom for me just it evokes such a different feeling than monster energy drink.
Exactly. And it was all natural, not full of chemicals. Mm-hmm. So So, you know, bloom, flower, nature, all of that tied in too. And also women, like it being invigorated in the afternoon, like, you know, that blooming. So yeah, it worked on many levels. So that was a good one. Thank you. Then the L in smile stands for legs, and legs means that your name lends itself to a theme so you can extend it through wordplay. So we just talked about that with the sonic bloom. With Spoon Me, they had so much wordplay with that name. So they had their t-shirts were shut up and spoon me. Bumper sticker was, if you're driving this close, you might as well spoon me. And before one of their stores opened, instead of coming soon, the sign said spooning soon. Mm-hmm. And then they were based in Utah. So on the door, on the hours, it said no spooning on Sunday. and then it said no shirt, no shoes, no spoon. Yes. I mean, it was just infectious, right? Everybody loved that name. And I actually met one of my fellow authors. We have the same publisher, and I was speaking at one of our conferences, and he heard me talking about Spoon Me, and he told me that when he was going to school at BYU, he had a crush on this girl, Kim, his name is Seth Adam Smith. And he was really crushing on this girl, Kim, and they were just friends, and he wanted to move her out of the friend zone, and he didn't know how to do it. So he took her to Spoon Me, and she got the hint, and now they're married with kids, and yeah.
And now they're married with kids. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All because of a strong brand name.
I know. Isn't that great? And there's a lot of smitten stories too, where people have their first date at Smitten, and then Smitten did their wedding catering. So I love stories like that.
Yeah. Okay. So the legs here of smile, as I understand it, it provides ample opportunity for wordplay and, you know, my marketing brain is like, you know, content creation around that theme that your brand name has.
Oh yeah. I mean, even your blog name, right?
Yeah.
And also monetize merchandise, which is huge, right? So if you can get your name to pay you. So think about this. If people love your name so much that they'll pay you to wear it on a t-shirt, they're paying you to advertise your brand for you, which is the opposite of how advertising works. Usually advertising, you're paying for ads. And here's somebody paying you, hey, let me give you $20 because I want Spoon Me on a t-shirt because it's such a cool name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a win for sure.
Yeah. And just one more that we did that I love is a cupcake store in Denver that we named the Church of Cupcakes. So that whole theme was around religion. So her tagline was worshipers welcome. She called herself the church lady. She, and then we had really fun flavor names, and some of them you had to think about. And my favorite one was the vanilla cupcake. We named the missionary.
Yes. I love it. I love it. This seems like a lot of work, Alexandra. For someone who is let me rephrase that. It seems like a big ask for someone who is a creative focused on making products, right? If someone listening and is like, I'm a beekeeper. My specialty is caring for my bees. You know, like I don't have this skill set. Like I'm nodding along. I'm listening. Like I hear you, Alexandra, but like, that's not my forte.
Well, that's what you say to that specialist. You bring in a specialist, right? Like I hire people to help all the time with things that I'm not really good at. Right. I mean, so I have a CPA, a social media team, you know, we have those people to help us. Yeah. Not everyone is gifted at everything. You know, I'm certainly not, but names and taglines that's what gets me excited. They come pretty easily to me. Mm-hmm. And if you have a theme, like I'll just give you a quick example. I was on a podcast the other day. I was on this guy's podcast 3 years ago, and then his name was not memorable, his personal name. And he wrote to me and said, I want to have a new podcast. I want to brand it with a really awesome name. I want to read your books. I sent him my book. And then he came back and he said, okay, I came up with the name. It's Bomb Track Media. is my company name, and I'm going to call the podcast Let's Blow This Up. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot wait to be on your podcast. Like, Let's Blow This Up. That's fun. That's exciting. So I was on this podcast earlier this week. He calls his audience the bomb squad.
Yeah.
he calls his studio the bomb shelter. And yep. He's all about, I gave him this one, he's all about explosive growth. Oh, and he calls himself the bombardier. So the bombardier is much more memorable than his own name, Jason Sircone. So when you have a name with legs, for instance, look, people will give you ideas. You know, it's like with Spoon Me, they had this thing in their bathrooms. They had graffiti on the bathroom walls from movies. And so they would take popular movie phrases and replace them with spoon or spoon me. So, yo, Adrian, let's spoon. Or from Jerry Maguire, you had me at spoon me.
Yeah.
So people, but their customers would come up and say, oh, what about this? What about this? So not only will people help you, like they want to get involved, and that makes them more invested in your brand.
Totally. And, you know, I really like that you have normalized not being good at this, right? I think about that food entrepreneur who's like, oh, I'm good at a million other things in my business, but naming just isn't something that I've got the, you know, natural skill set of. And I love the reminder that we hire out for so many other things in our business. Naming can be one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I interrupted you before you got to E. What's the
That's
E in
okay.
smile?
So E is really important. E is emotional. Your name needs to make an emotional connection with your audience, or it's going to go right over their head. And when they're in the supermarket or whatever store that you are selling your product in, or they're online or on Amazon, you've got to have a name that jumps out and connects with them. And that's why, you know, a lot of these names I just said, you know, Spoon Me, the Church of Cupcakes, those are names that make people smile. And if you can make someone smile, that's such a strong emotional connection. So you want them to feel something. It needs to resonate with them. And, you know, think of Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavors, right? Chunky Monkey, Cherry Garcia. Like, those make strong emotional connections. So if I said, what are names of Ben and Jerry's flavors? Everyone knows some, right?
Yep. I was just listing them in my head as you said that. Yeah.
Right. So, and by the way, it's. And so if Ben and Jerry's isn't a clever name, but they have really extended their brand with all of these fun flavor names, and that's what they're known for. So those, if you can make that type of connection with people, you're golden.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great example. Okay, so we've got the smile test on one side of the spectrum here, and we run through all these positive things that our name is doing. It's making someone literally smile when they read it or hear it or say it out loud. What's on that other end of the spectrum that we're concerned with here?
Okay. Scratch. Scratch. All of these are deal breakers, okay? Don't be like, oh, Alexandra, I just have that one thing. No. Trust me. I have been doing this almost 20 years. You don't want to have any of these. They will come back to bite you.
Okay. We are all about the tough love on this podcast. So our listeners are ready for it.
Okay.
So
yeah,
scratch.
I'm going to slap you guys upside the head.
Okay. All right. We're ready. And then make me a promise here. For our listeners who hear you talk about the scratch acronym and then are like, oh, shoot. My name checks those boxes. Will you tell us what to do next?
Of course.
Afterwards?
Of course.
Okay, great. So we're ready for the tough love. Give it to us.
Here we go. Okay, the S in Scratch stands for spelling challenge. This is huge. I think this is the biggest one. So Ali, I know that you know this company, but your listeners, I imagine some of them do, but a lot of them won't. There is a food brand named Cho. And when I say Cho, it sounds like it's spelled C-H-O. Mm-hmm. And it's a chocolate company.
Yeah.
And if I was talking to somebody coming to the Bay Area where they're located, and I said, and they're like, oh, I love chocolate. I said, oh, you have to go check out the Cho factory. You would have no idea that it was spelled T-C-H-O.
Yes.
T-C-H-O. Yes. So T is silent. Like what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, Alexandra, I was at Byright when Cho launched, and I remember bringing in their first line of chocolates back when it was, way back with different packaging, all of that. And I remember as a buyer being like, I literally don't know how to say this name out loud.
Yes. And what happens with that is like,
then you don't say it.
Okay. Think of it. We might as well just skip to the H, right? Hard to pronounce the end of, because the S and the H on Scratch are the two most important letters.
Yeah.
So if you don't know how to pronounce something, think about in a really good way to relate to names is think of your own name, right? So my neighbor, Bob, for 6 years has called me Alexandria, right? He's put an extra letter in my name. I don't have an I at the end, like the library in Egypt. I'm just Alexandra. So at this, and Bob's, he's older than me. And at this point, it would be really, I would be so embarrassed to like correct him, right? And you think I would be embarrassed? How embarrassed would he be that for 6 years, he's not only called me by the wrong name, he's probably introduced me to 30 people by the wrong name, right? So, yes. And Glenn, my boyfriend, he never corrects him. Like, we're just like, okay.
You're just living with it now.
Let it go. So no one wants that feeling of embarrassment, right? So when you were at Byright and you didn't know how to pronounce Cho, you didn't want to embarrass yourself in front of the let's see,
anyone.
The buyer.
Right.
So,
anyone, right? Like I think Alexandra, so I probably, thinking about, younger me at this point, I might just, I'm confident enough to say like, how the heck do I pronounce this? But back then I would have likely not brought it up in meetings as much. If I were on the sales floor looking at that wall of chocolate and a shopper came up and said like, which one's your favorite? I would never, even if I loved Cho, I never would have been like, this one is my favorite, but I don't know how to say it out loud. Or it would have been some awkward like point, right? Like the Vanna White, I would have been like, this one's my favorite chocolate. But, I certainly wouldn't have been shouting the brand name from the rooftops because of my insecurity about how it was pronounced. Absolutely. I remember that quite clearly.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so glad you had a story about it. So when I lived on the Embarcadero in San Francisco, that's where their original factory was.
Yeah.
So I was walking by there one day and their Cho is spelled with all capital letters. And yes. I call that, okay, so wait, I'll tell you in a second what I call it. Okay, so I'm walking by with my friend and Jim, and he says, oh, my girlfriend loves that TCHO chocolate. And he called it TCHO. Why? It's what I call capital punishment. If you have a short name, and it's in all capital letters, people, it's like THX, right? THX is in all capital letters. People pronounce all the letters, right? Although my girlfriend calls it thanks because it is the abbreviation for thanks, which I think is so funny.
Yes.
Capital punishment with Cho. So be careful if you have a short name. It's impossible to even get a short name trademarked anymore. But these are things that people don't think about and you should think about.
So, yeah. Okay. And I see that because it's all capitalized. So one, it feels like they're shouting at me and I don't like that. And also then we can stop like shit talking. Cho, I love their chocolate. Literally it's in my pantry right now. But I'll say there's the capital is challenging and it also reads as an acronym, right?
Yeah. Okay. I love that it's in your pantry. Yeah.
It is. The nuts right now.
So someone on your call, someone on this, on listening to your podcast is thinking right now, well, clearly they were successful anyway. Allie has it in her pantry. Yes, that is true. However, when you are starting out with a blank slate, why give yourself any disadvantages? Think about your own name. So Allie, you are A-L-L-I.
Yes.
But I know people spell your name wrong all the time, right?
All the time. Like my grandma spells my name wrong. Literally, like people in my family spell my name incorrectly. And, I get I-E, I get one L, I get a Y, I get an E-Y, all different versions of Allie.
Is it an abbreviation of Allison?
Allison. Correct. Yes. Yeah. And then they spell Allison wrong. Not the way I spell it, right? Obviously, there are many ways to spell Allison, but Same thing, two L's and an I, A-L-L-I-S-O-N. And I get all sorts of variations on that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So think about, and like, you're okay. You laugh about it at this point, but some people are very particular about their names. And if you think about how difficult it is for people with your own name, again, why would you want that for your product name? But I was talking to a woman the other day, and her name is Alicia. It looks like it's Alicia. And I asked her, I said, how do you pronounce your name? Because I always ask people that, and unless it's really obvious, like Ali, I know how to pronounce right. that. But she said it's Alicia. Like, mm-hmm. I'd never heard that. I'm like, Alicia. Oh, like Militia. Like, that's how I remember it. And if you do have a difficult to pronounce name, I always tell people, or spell, give someone a mnemonic to help them remember. And by the way, yes. My favorite food mnemonic is broccoli has a lot of vitamin C. So that's how I remember it has two C's in it.
Oh, I love that. Well, even speaking of my name, you know, I get a lot of pitches and a lot of folks popping into my inbox. And I'll tell you, when someone spells my name incorrectly, you know, like, Dear Ali, I would love to be a guest on the Food Biz Wiz podcast. When they spell my name incorrectly, it is an automatic tiny red flag that they haven't taken the time to get to know our podcast or even click through to my website that literally has my name in it, you know.
Yeah.
So
no, little details like that matter. And our names are really personal to us.
Yeah. So we covered
the S and the H.
What's in between that we need to know?
Let's talk about the meat of the sandwich. Okay. The first C in Scratch stands for copycat. Nobody likes a copycat. Why be somebody else when you can be yourself? A really smart friend of mine said that, and I have I'm going to post that as a meme on my Instagram.
That's that. Yeah.
Okay. So copycat, my favorite copycat example that I shall tell everybody, and it's in my book. So you're probably familiar with a frozen yogurt brand called Pinkberry. Mm-hmm. And Pinkberry is not even a great name. I think I think Paris Hilton was photographed eating it, and then it became really wildly popular. So Pinkberry, because it became so popular, a lot of people copied it. So one day, I probably saw one copycat, and I was like, I wonder how many people copied that name. So I went on Google, and I just started typing in words in front of berry with the word frozen yogurt after it. So these are all names I typed in. Blissberry, Yo Berry, Yum Berry, Cool Berry. They were all taken. I have an entire slide in my presentation. And if any of your listeners want it, or we can even put it in your show notes, or we'll do something. It's amazing how many people copied that name, right? And like, you know, when you see a name like, you know, Yum Berry or Cool Berry, what do people do? They roll their eyes and they think, oh, they just copied Pinkberry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, then I start to judge them. I'm like, well, they weren't even creative enough to come up with their own name. They're just ripping somebody else off.
Yeah. And, you know, Spoon Me, right? When they hired us, they said, we don't want a color or a berry, a color or a fruit in our name. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. By the way, another Pinkberry ripoff that most people wouldn't know, but I figured it out because I'm a namer, is Red Mango. It's a color and a fruit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if they're around anymore. They were in Palo Alto on University.
I don't know if they are. But, yeah, you know, what's coming up for me here is like, it's hard. I mean, I said this as we were talking about the smile, but it's hard to come up with a unique name. I feel like our listeners must think that, you know, Alexandra, well, all the good names are taken.
Okay. No, they're not. This morning, okay, I didn't look this one up, but this morning I found this logo. Oh my God, this is going to replace every graphic designer. It's called Brand Crowd, and you can design logos and all this stuff, and it's very inexpensive. So I found this cool kind of logo for frozen yogurt, and I'm like, I need a name for it. And so I'm like, what were some of those other names I did for Spoon Me? And nothing was really working with the particular logo I found. And then I'm like, just chill. I hadn't even thought of that one before. I'm like, just chill. That's kind of cool, you know, pardon the pun. So like, no, they're not all taken. And we have named three frozen yogurt stores. And my favorite one next to Spoon Me was when self-serve frozen yogurt became really popular. And, you know, we all like to go and make our own, right? It's like our little art, our little art thing that we make, especially those of us that we might not be creative. You might not be creative with words, but I know you're all creative, like with food, right? So you make your own beautiful thing. So I was inspired by that. And I named it Vincent Van Yo. And the tagline is make your own masterpiece.
I love it. That's funny.
Thank you.
That's funny.
Yeah. So they're not, all the names aren't taken. I came up. Yeah. So I named Spoon Me. And then a couple of years later, I wrote my book. So I had to give some examples of names we came up with. And I'm like, okay, I'll come up with some more. And then when I created my online course, I needed to do more to show some techniques I was using. So I'm like, oh, rhyming dictionaries, right? So I looked up the word yo. I didn't want the word yo in the name when we were working with by the way, Spoon Me, they were going to name it Zen Yo. Get it, like Zen plus yogurt. But like, how many Zen Yo t-shirts would they have sold? No. Right. So I didn't want to go anywhere to the word yo, but in my course, I pretended like the client did so I could explore that name and show people how to work with it. So I went to a rhyming dictionary and I came up with Jo-Yo, Chateau-Yo. Those are all really fun, right? So there are still names out there. You just need to know how to find them.
Okay. I am convinced.
Okay. Yeah. If you ever need to name anything, Ali, I will do it for you.
Thank you.
And we'll film it. Yeah. We'll do like a live.
We could do
I'll do it live for you.
That'd be so fun. Okay, cool. I'll hold you to that. All right. So we've got the S. We've got the C. What's the R?
The R stands for restrictive. And restrictive means that you outgrow your name. Mm-hmm. So an example, I'm trying to think of a food brand. I can't think of a food brand that does, but so if you think of like 1-800 flowers, they sell way more than flowers, right? And also no one is on, it's not 800 anymore,
people,
right? Or like people just go online. Right. 24-hour fitness, not all of them are open 24 hours anymore. The 99-cent store, not everything is 99 cents. So yeah, people do outgrow their name. So when you're looking in your crystal ball, so if you're starting out and you are a cookie company, but one day you might be selling crepes, you know, think about that. And I know it's hard to know what's coming down the pike, but at least in the food industry, people, it's not a knowledge business. It's a, you know, you actually have a product, so you're not being replaced by AI. I think AI will help you. So, but try to think, what could we possibly be in the future so you don't outgrow your name?
Yes. We had a retail ready student who was struggling with that. She was a lollipop business. And over the years, or so her name was Hot Lollies. And over the years, she was like, I make things beyond lollipops. And I'm kind of stuck with this name, Hot Lollies. And so we've really had that back and forth on where does she go next, right? Like, how does she create this brand that becomes bigger than just lollipops?
Yeah.
I see it all the time. I see it all
you
the
do?
Time.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially for some reason, I don't know why, we see it a lot with baked goods, right? Your example of cookies, right? Like, you know, Sharon's cookies or, you know, Monique's muffins. And then people want to make like beyond that one particular type of baked goods. So we see it there. And then we also see it in confections, like, you know, Krista's caramels or Mark's macaroons. And at some point, Mark wants to make something other than macaroons. And it's really restrictive.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of times people think, well, I'll just do a tagline and that can save me. But you don't need a tagline. You need a new name. And
we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Okay, great. Okay. So we've got the R.
Right.
So A.
The A stands for annoying, and annoying is when you are too cute. Maybe you're too cute. You know, you spell something backwards. Maybe you have a number in the middle of your name. So, lollies for jollies, right? And the four, this is a dumb name. Like, hey, don't use that name. And lollies for jollies. The four is a numeral four. So then right. every time people are going to stumble over it because you're going to always have to tell them it's a four. They're going to spell it out F-O-R. The email is going to get kicked back. So don't try to like be clever with the number. It's okay if you are the 21st Amendment, right? Then right. that makes sense, right? That's familiar right. to us. That number, there's a number for a reason. Yes. But
right. And I hear when you say it out loud, you're saying the number, right? 21st Amendment.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, jollies for lollies where the L's are ones just because you think it's cute because you're the number one lollipop brand, right? Yeah. Like way too complicated.
Yeah. So don't annoy people. Your name needs to be friction free. So think of it as a welcome mat. You know, you want people to be able to walk in, don't have a do not enter sign, don't make your hours complicated, just open the door, make it easy. Eat my words, our name. Super easy for people, right? Yes. No one stumbles over it. Okay, then the T, it's funny because you've been saying a lot of T names. T stands for tame. So tame is, and the one I always think of is Justin's peanut butter, right? Justin's a really cool guy. I met him at the fancy food show. But the name says nothing about the peanut butter, right?
No. Who's Justin and why do I care?
Right, right.
No offense to Justin, right?
Right. So one of my favorite peanut butter flavor, I love peanut butter. One of my favorite peanut butter flavor names is peanut butter because it's like bees, you know, honey, speaking of beekeepers. Okay. So and I'll tell you guys a quick story because a lot of people get hung up on their domain name. Like, well, but I, you know, I'm spelling it with a four because I can't get the domain name. Like, forget about that. Like, you're in the food industry. You have an opportunity to have eat or drink, a verb in front of your name, you know, drink Coca-Cola, you know, enjoy. And enjoy is another one.
Yeah.
Enjoy
Coca-Cola. Taste. Yeah.
Yeah. Taste. There's so many food.
Savor. Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I was at the fancy food show one year, you know, I'm walking around trying all the peanut butters and I turn the corner and I see this banner and it says, I love peanutbutter.com. I'm like, oh my God, I love that. I went over to talk to them and the company's name is Peanut Butter & Co. And that's not a particular clever name. It's pretty flat and tame, but all of their business cards say ilovepeanutbutter.com as their domain name. Their emails are, you know, Allie@ilovepeanutbutter.com.
Yes.
And why? Oh, by the way, if you go to Peanut Butter & Co., it redirects you to I Love Peanut Butter. So why? Because it makes, like, people that love peanut butter, right? It's very polarizing. You either love it or you do not have a taste for it. So they know that that domain name makes such a strong emotional connection. People see that email of somebody's email and they light up, right? Like, oh my God, I want that email address.
Yeah. It passes all the things of the smile test. That's a domain name that passes all of those things, right?
Yes.
I've got an emotional connection to that domain.
Totally. And when I went home from the fancy food show, that's the one I remembered. You know, out of all the peanut butter purveyors I stopped by, I remembered I love peanut butter. And that's where I went, oh, I got an apron. I still have it. I wrote about them in my book. Yeah, no. And oh, that's the other thing. I'll write about you in my book. You might get an award. Okay.
I love it.
So that's
okay. So that is the A, right? Don't be annoying.
S-E-R-A-T. Oh, wait. Oh, I already did the T. Sorry, I did them out of order.
Oh, T.
And then the
C. Yeah.
Curse of knowledge is the second C. So that means that insiders get it, or it's in a foreign, so it's foreign to people. So that could mean that only insiders get it, or it's in a foreign language. So I wrote down some of these. Okay. One is, Haagen-Dazs. Okay. Look, we all know Haagen-Dazs now. By the way, no one can spell it. No one knew how to pronounce it when it came out. It has that weird umlaut in it. No, I don't think, people still can't spell it. It seems like it would have the curse of knowledge. Like it means something, but I think it's just a made up word. Mm. But Faye is the Greek yogurt and it's spelled F-A-G-E. No one pronounces it wrong.
Yes.
And like,
well, I think about my buy rate time. I didn't know how to pronounce it. None of us knew how to pronounce it back then.
Yeah.
We all said it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A dog food name with the curse of knowledge. Another one I didn't know how to pronounce is Yukonuba. Mm. And no one knows how to pronounce it. I think people finally figured it out, although I'm sure people still say it wrong. But Yukonuba, it actually has a meaning. And back in the jazz era, it meant the tops or supreme. But nobody knows that. And people aren't like picking up a 50-pound bag of dog food and like reading the back of the package. And with Faye, it does explain how to pronounce the name on the back of the tiny little frozen yogurt container. Like, I think after your days at Byrate, they probably figured that out and put it on there. And my second bananas, her name is Janice. She's an awesome namer. And she's Greek. And she said, no one wants to learn Greek from the back of a yogurt container.
Correct. I agree with that. I agree with that. Okay. So, and what did the curse of knowledge, right? So folks are too close to the product when
too
they're
close, or they're using a foreign word that they forget. Like nobody else knows what that means. And just, one in San Francisco, I don't know if it's still there on Fillmore Street. There's a restaurant, SPQR.
Oh, right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you know what that stands for?
I do. It's like a highway in Italy, right?
No, it's the Senate and the Roman people. It's Latin.
Oh, I thought it was named after. Okay, so here we are, right? I thought it was named after a particular.
That would make more sense.
Oh. I'm thinking about A16.
Oh, okay.
There are other restaurants. Exactly. Okay, but same thing, right?
Yeah.
So, and SPQR, folks don't know if it's an acronym. They don't necessarily make that Italian connection unless they know of the restaurant, right? Or the restaurant group.
Yeah, Latin. No one knows Latin. No one knows Latin anymore. And even for the acronym, SPQR doesn't line up with the Senate and the Roman people. So yeah, that is an example of the curse of knowledge, right?
Yes.
People don't know what it means.
I agree. I totally agree. Okay, so I think we took a little roundabout there, but we covered the scratch filters. So as folks are reviewing their brand name, they're looking at both ends of the spectrum here, right? Does it meet all those smile requirements? Does it not meet the scratch requirements, right? Does it make me smile? Does it make me scratch my head? Okay. I'm going to pause here really quick. And when we come back, Alexandra, I want to talk about what happens for our listeners who are like, oh, shoot, my name doesn't pass the test. We'll be right back.
What's your business's secret sauce to success? I want to know, and I bet you do too. Take our secret sauce quiz to find out. You'll answer 10 quick, fun questions on yourself and your business, and you will get your secret sauce results, plus a curated list of free resources for your exact stage of business and your own unique superpower so that you can do more of what's working. Find our secret sauce quiz linked directly in the show notes, complete it in less than 2 minutes, and then grab your free custom toolkit filled with hand-selected, totally free resources for you and your growth once you complete that quiz and get your results. Grab it right now in the show notes and find out your secret sauce to success.
Okay, Alexandra, I'm sure we scared some of our listeners, and I'm sure some folks are frustrated right now, being like, well, I'm a couple years into my business. I bought the domain name. I've got my email address. I've got 10,000 packages sitting in my garage with this brand name, and you're telling me it's no good. What do we do? What do our listeners do?
So look, it's never too late to change your name. Look, I know it's not when you have packaging, you already have packaging. It's not cheap. But if your name is holding you back, look, Allie, you yourself said it when you were at Byrite. Look, you wouldn't even recommend show because you didn't know how to pronounce it. Same with Faye. Like you might not even be realizing how much your name is holding you back. Mm. So this is time for reflection. Run it through this. I mean, you just heard me talk. You go through the smile and scratch test, and you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, the name will be familiar to you. It makes an emotional connection with you, but it's really is like Rikudi, right? Mm-hmm. Also, delicious chocolate, impossible for people to pronounce and spell.
Yeah.
What is it saying to people? What is it saying about your product? So if it's time for a rebrand, it's never too late. We have rebranded two companies that are more than 100 years old.
Wow.
And people do come to us and they say, you know, we've outgrown our name, or we realize now that it was a mistake to name it this, and we need something that's stronger that will really evoke more about what our product is or does and make that connection with people. So yeah, it's not too late. You know, here's what happens. In the old days, if you change your name, it was really difficult. How did people find you? Now you change your name, you have everyone's email address, you let them know your website, you do a redirect, you have social media to get the story out, you have a new story to tell your consumers, here's why we changed our name. You can even make, you know, kind of have a little fun with it. But, yeah. You know, these are all the different ways people were pronouncing it. So, yeah, it's not too late. If you have a garage full of packages, yeah, I could see how you want to let those run out first, maybe, and then really think about it before you print those packages again. And yeah, it's just, don't feel like all the good names are taken, because they're not. If they were, we'd be out of business.
Exactly. Well, and I think too, you know, if any of our Retail Ready students are listening to this and they're like, shoot, I need a new name, come back to our student group. I'll help you just figure out what to do with that packaging. We could do a whole campaign around changing the name and moving out of the old packaging into the new ones, right? There are easy solutions that we can come up with here. So Alexandra, what I hear you say is don't let the short-term pain of going through a name change hold you back from potentially decades of success with a new name.
Absolutely. Look at the lifetime of your brand. How long will you have it? And yeah, it is short-term pain. Yeah. And my birth name is Alexandra, but I didn't go by Alexandra for the first, you know, majority of years of my life and the first 40 years of my life. And I went by Sandra. That was the derivative of Alexandra.
Huh.
So when I turned 40, I wanted to go back to my birth name, because I realized I mentioned it to someone, and then some guy I was dating, and he would introduce me. He called me that. He would introduce me as that. People remembered it. I was like, So when I turned 40, I changed back to my birth name. And that was so long ago. Everyone calls me that now. I can't even remember that time. I don't even respond to Sandra anymore. It's such a foreign name to me. And I've gotten so much more mileage out of the, you know, the full version of my name, the full length version. So yeah, think about like you're an old, you know, you're married, your old married, you know, your maiden name or your high school nickname or these things that we outgrow.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, my company, when I started it 10 years ago, was just Allison Ball Consulting. And I was like riding off the high of having folks knowing my name in the industry. And then as we got larger and larger, and as I built up this team, it was no longer the Allie Show all day, every day. You know, folks on my team provide excellent service to our students. And so the name no longer reflected what we were doing in the business. And yeah, it was a little painful when we switched things over, but only a couple months of pain.
Yeah.
And was really worth it for us in the long run to change our name.
Good. Yeah. And people move past it. And you can also do things in the meantime, like come up with a really clever domain name and do a redirect. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite domain names, we named a popcorn store one time, Pop Psychology. And the domain name we did, it was the tagline and the domain name was Crazy for Popcorn.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's fun.
You can get creative.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, I'll tell you before I forget that my favorite domain name ever is for here's an example. Not a great name. It's a mail order turkey company called Greenberg Smoked Turkeys. And Greenberg, you know, it's a family name. Greenberg can be spelled with a E-R-G, U-R-G. Mm-hmm. But their domain name is absolutely unforgettable. And I read about this company on the O list, you know, Oprah's big holiday gift list. And their domain name is gobblegobble.com.
That's perfect. I love it.
See,
love
and those it. Are the names that people remember and they talk about. And like for all the, and you can move past. Look at food companies. Look at all the political incorrectness that, you know, all that. And look at Kentucky Fried Chicken became KFC, right? Like companies change their names.
Yeah, they do. And it's okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So before I let you go, I want to emphasize two things. First off, I want to make sure our listeners know that we are doing a giveaway of your book, Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick. And I want to tell our listeners exactly how they can join this giveaway. And then, Alexandra, I want to hear about your course and how people can stay in touch with you. So if our listeners want to enter the drawing for a free copy of your book, Alexandra, all you have to do is, one, you've got to be US-based. This is a US-based giveaway. And listeners, just share this episode to your stories. Tag me at FoodBizWiz and tag Alexandra at EatMyWordsNames. We're going to link both of those in our show notes, so you just copy and paste them. And then if you want a second chance entry, write a review of the Food Biz Wiz podcast, snap a screenshot of it, and DM it my way, and we'll give you a second chance in that drawing. So we're going to draw the winner at noon Pacific time on April 15th, tax day. So I'll do that drawing. So get your screenshots, share this episode on socials before then, and maybe you can win that book. Okay. Alexandra, I've got the book. I'm literally holding it right now. It's right here in front of me, and it is fantastic. I felt like it was such a fun, easy read that really made me think about naming within our own company. So I'm so excited for some of our listeners to get their hands on that. Beyond that, tell us about your course. And we've got a discount for our listeners.
Okay. Yeah. My course is called How to Create Super Sticky Brand Names. And it is really fun. I say it's like my book on steroids in Technicolor. Mm. And it's I get really bored learning. And so I wanted to make it really interesting and fun and exciting and funny. So and super colorful. So the course will take you step by step through the naming process. You're going to have an entire module on Scratch, one on Smile, one on Scratch. You're going to learn all about domain names, and you're going to get a lot of tips there, and you're going to get a lot of inspiration. You'll see how to complete your creative brief, and that's your roadmap for coming up with your name. You will have 10 brainstorming lessons, and I will show you all of the places I go when I'm looking for name inspiration. And this is like I was telling you, like with the rhyming dictionary, coming up with Joyo, Chateau-yo, like these are things that you might not think of. So then you will see an entire module on name changes. And even if you aren't changing your name, there's so much inspiration in there that will get you really excited about your own name.
Yeah. Well, I loved even when you were talking about naming flavors and things like that. So for our listeners who are feeling really solid about their brand name after this episode, there's still opportunity for them, right? Thinking about how they're going to name a seasonal release or the next, you know, new menu items or anything like that. It really has me excited about what our listeners can do with this.
Good. Yeah. And you'll get ideas for, you know, monetizing merchandise or coming up with a job title for yourself or, you know, naming your wireless network something fun. When I had the office in San Francisco, I worked in a very colorful loft in Soma and I named it Candyland.
Yes.
So like how you can have fun with your names and don't feel like you're stuck with the name, you know, oh, well, I already have my company name. Like there's so much, your conference rooms, even if your conference room is your dining room table, you can name it.
Yes. Absolutely. We used to have all of the walk-in refrigerators at Byright named after wrappers. And so like we would just know like, oh, the turkeys are stored in, you know, like Jay-Z or something like that. It was really fun and such a great way that we created this like funny little company culture inside of Byright by naming our walk-in refrigerators.
I love that. See, the people love things like that. And it's just like with conference rooms, like where would you rather meet, in conference room 29A or Abba Zaba?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Man. And I hadn't even thought about the walk-in names for, I don't know, over a decade. And somewhere it was stuck in my brain there. I love that. Great. Yeah, so, and we've got a discount too. Alexandra, you have generously offered $500 discount for any of our listeners who enroll in your course. I'll put it in the show notes, but that discount code is FoodBizWiz. Okay. Gosh, we covered a lot today. I could keep on talking to you, Alexandra, but I know we've got to wrap up this episode. Tell our listeners where they can keep in touch with you.
You can keep in touch with me at, if you go to Eat My Words, you'll find us there. Oh, and you'll go to look at our names portfolio. You'll get a lot of inspiration and see it. We have so many fun food names in there. You know, Monkey Junks were dips for kids. I mean, there's so many. So let that inspire you. You can follow me on Instagram at Eat My Words Names with the S on the end, not a Z. and then, I'm on LinkedIn all the time. So look me up there. And look for me at, Expo West will have happened by the time the show.
Yes. We didn't even get to talk about that. By the time this goes live, you will be back from Expo West, where you just launched a new contest of words, a brand. What are you calling it? Name Hall of Fame?
I'm calling it the Name Hall of Fame. Oh. So yeah, I'm finally the long awaited Name Hall of Fame. I am going to start it. And I'm inducting, the first 10 inductees will be from Expo West, the best food brand names and product names, the flavor names that I see at Expo West. So I'll spend the first 2 days scouting the show, looking for those names. And if you want to, send me, if you have some for next year, let me know.
Exactly. And so by the time this goes live, you will have already announced those names.
I will.
So Alexandra, I bet you'll have that on your Instagram so folks can go and see the award winners.
Yes. And if Tickle Belly is there, that's my favorite food name I've ever seen at one of the food shows. Yeah, they're getting inducted.
They're getting an award.
And you know what's really sad to me? I'll just tell you really quick. I asked the guy, this is the best name. How did you come up with the name Tickle Belly? He's like, oh, my 5-year-old daughter came up with it. I'm like, I'm out of a job. I'm being replaced by a 5-year-old.
Your future employee, CEO there. Yeah, exactly. Maybe she's got a job with you. Alexandra, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was so much
fun. Thank you, Allie. This was a blast.
All right, my whizzes, this was such a great episode. I know personally, I am inspired to go back and revisit all the things that we have named in our business and to use Alexandra's systems for renaming them. So what about you guys? I want to know, whizzes, I want to hear from you. What piece of her advice impacted you the most as you think about your names or your flavors or anything that you are branding in your business? We want to know how this lands with you. And then don't forget, if you want a chance to win Alexandra's book, Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick, follow the instructions in our full show notes before April 15th, 2024, and then find that discount code for Alexandra's course in our show notes as well. All right. Have a good one. Thank you for listening, my whizzes, and we'll see you right back here next week.
Thanks for listening to Food Biz Whiz. If you're enjoying this podcast and the tools it gives you for growing your packaged product business, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. From one small business owner to another, I am deeply grateful for your support of this podcast, and I appreciate it when you share it with your fellow food founders, share it on social media, or leave me a review on your listening platform. Ready for more? Find out how we can work together at foodbizwiz.com. I'll see you right back here next week.